Hey, it's Rob and Kennedy.
Hello, today on the Email Marketing Show, we're discussing whether you should push the consumption of your products and your lead magnets by email, or you should just leave the people the hell alone. This is from a conversation we had a little while ago with our friend Monica at our last Inbox conference.
Now, speaking of that, the new Inbox conference is coming up very, very soon. It's actually happening at the end of June 2022, and we would love to invite you to join us for free. Previously, tickets and registration to this amazing conference were like $500, but this time we've decided to make it totally free. We're going to knock it out of the park, we're going to grow it massively, and we're going to turn this into the biggest online email marketing party you can imagine. That's right, I said email marketing party, that's a thing. We've got a whole bunch of incredible speakers, so much great stuff on the lineup. So come and hang out. As I said, it's totally free. You'll be able to register for free, attend the entire thing. It's all happening live, hosted by Kennedy and myself. I nearly called him Rob there. Hosted by Kennedy and myself, and I promise it's going to be lots of fun.
He was once almost on a super famous British TV reality show. It's comedy hypnotist Robert Temple.
And he has trained his cat to respond to a bell. It's psychological mind reader Kennedy. So, I mean, who is the hypnotist here? What happens? You ring a bell and they come running.
Well, that's basically exactly it. I thought, well, people do it with dogs. There's that old psychological thing of Pavlov's dog, of ringing a bell and the dogs came running. And I thought, we'll do that with a cat, and it means whenever we need their attention or get them into a room, we can ring the bell. So every time we feed them, ring a little bell.
I was trying
Or the receptionist turns up.
I was trying to think of Pavlov's name, and for some reason, all I could think of was Stifler from American Pie. I was thinking Stifler's dog.
Stifler's dog has got it going.
Don't know where Stifler came from. It's a great film.
Wow. Have you been watching American Pie?
Not since I was like 14.
We watched the new Scream film a little while ago and loved it. Tell us about this. I mean, I know what the show is. We're not going to mention what the TV show was. Mm. And what they actually asked you to do was quite unusual, wasn't it?
Yeah, so they had a whole bunch of contestants, as reality TV shows typically do, from the general British public, and they had this idea to secretly have a hypnotist go in undercover, not as a real contestant, but as like a, I don't know what you'd call them, like a mole, go in and secretly use hypnosis on people. Bear in mind, this is a long time ago. This has got to be 15 years ago or something. Mm-hmm. And so I'd only been doing it for a couple of years, but this phone call came in and they wanted somebody who was younger and a bit more fresh and all the rest of it. And we got quite far down the process, and then they couldn't get it past compliance and legals and insurance and all of that stuff.
No shit.
And now you realise, they wanted to hypnotise people without them knowing about it and all of that, and you realise kind of why. But it was an interesting idea. So yes, I was almost on it. I would never have gone on it. Was I not being paid and hired to go on it? But there you go.
There you go. What a story. There you go. Hello. Hello, hello. We are a stage hypnotist and a psychological mind reader turned email marketing geeks. And we give course creators, coaches and membership site owners everything that you need to use psychology-driven email marketing and be the email marketing hero of your business, which basically means you make more sales more predictably in less time, with a brand new episode every Email Marketing Wednesday.
Oh, hang on a minute.
Yeah?
Just because you got sound effects doesn't make it any more valid. Move on, please.
Mate, it was your flipping idea. You were like, mate, we could up the production. And I said, what are we going to do? And you went, sound effects. And I was like, oh, that'll up the production.
I'm
going to
give
great.
You a budget of £43.99.
You saw the Starling transaction go out yourself.
I did.
Accounts department. By the way, if you haven't already, if you're brand new to the show, welcome, hello. We are going to get on with some email marketing crack in a second. But if you haven't already, make sure you hit the subscribe button on your podcast player to make sure you don't miss out on an episode of the show.
I wish you'd hit the wow wow one instead of the aww, because that would have been hilarious. As you're listening to this, we would love to have you take a screenshot of the episode you're listening to, or snap a little selfie, stick it on Instagram, tag us at Rob and Kennedy so we know that you're listening to this specific episode of the show. Tell us what your big takeaway is when we get to the end. You can't do that now. You've not heard it yet.
And if you can, flip an egg, I've got some gigs for you.
Your clients will be delighted, mate.
They will be like, bloody hell, the quality of this has gone up. Anyway, so that same old drivel, them three knob gags we usually have. Anyway, That's what they want these days. That's what they want. By the way, what do you all think of the new cover art for the show? We snuck it out there. We didn't do it like a big ta-da. We're just sort of starting to slowly roll out the whole visual rebrand that the team have been working on here at Email Marketing Heroes HQ. We couldn't do a big ta-da because we don't have one button that will make it all go live at once, so we're just rolling out bit by bit. I'm in love with it, man. I think it looks gorgeous.
Yes, we've been asking for people's opinions and gathering data and all that kind of stuff before we pick the final ones. And you're going to see more and more of this. As Kennedy said, we're rolling this out. You're going to see more and more of the Robin Kennedy rebrand happening, the Email Marketing Heroes rebrand happening. It's not all about us, you know, happening over the coming few weeks and months. So keep your eye out for it. And again, we'd love your feedback as we go.
Yeah, so what we wanted to do is we really wanted to share this conversation with you that we had with our friend Monica, who is another email marketing genius. She's really good at like funnels and all that sort of amazing stuff, ads. I mean, she's so analytical, it's unbelievable. And what we wanted to talk about is this idea of consumption emails. When somebody opts in for your free thing, or when they buy something from you, should you spend time turning up at their email door going, hey, you should go and consume it, hey, you should go and use it? Or is that just getting in the way? Does it help them? Or does it just get in the way? And one of my favourite things is right near the end of this conversation. By the way, this conversation's taken from a past event of ours called Inbox, which we talked about at the top of the show today. And this is just a little recording from one of the discussions we had during one of the little sessions. We had a panel discussion about the three of us. And I think you're going to really like it, because one of the things that Monica ends up revealing at the very end, which is really, really interesting, which we didn't ask her to share, was a whole bunch of data points that she collects on every single one of her subscribers. And there's a bunch of stuff that even we aren't recording, and it is quite amazing. So that's right near the end of this interview.
So are we going to send people emails that encourage them to go and consume the stuff that they have, that they've bought or opted in for? Now, there's a really nice romantic opinion and view that if somebody takes the time to consume our stuff, use it and get results, that they are more likely to go and buy something else later on further down the line. Now, for quite a while in our business, we didn't. We just said, somebody came in, they bought a thing, and actually as soon as the next day, we put them into a campaign to sell them our next thing. Mm-hmm. And our first probably dip into the idea of doing consumption was to try and get free subscribers to go and look at the free thing they opted in for. And actually, for me personally, that was less about getting them to look at the thing. It was more about getting them to click a link. I didn't really care how far through the process of looking at the thing they got. What I really cared about was them clicking a link and just at least subconsciously engaging with us as a brand through clicking rather than just consuming relatively blindly. So I've always been of the opinion, and that's why I'm interested in the discussion, that to a large extent, putting stuff in between them buying today, where they're a rabid, avid, happy to buy buyer, and buying the next thing, which is their next step, is potentially a waste of time. And I would back that up by saying that we cannot trust our customers, unfortunately, and this is again a controversial viewpoint, but we can't trust our customers to actually implement, even if they study, to implement the stuff and get a result, because the onus is on them to go and do it. And most people just don't in any business, whatever you sell, whatever you teach, most people never use the thing. The ones who do are the ones who get the results, but most people never do. And therefore, you might actually just be waiting forever for that person to get to the point where they've consumed some stuff. Now, controversial viewpoint, and I realize there's some lovely arguments against that, but that's one of my thought processes on it.
Monica, what do you think about this?
Well, I actually disagree. I think that we should have people consuming our products, and that we, part of our job as course creators and as teachers and information givers, is to make sure that we are providing that information. So sorry, Rob, to disagree with you, but our job is to like make sure that they are doing what they should be doing with that information. However, I don't disagree with the fact that they need the next thing to buy. So I actually combine that sequence. So like my consumption leads straight into a sale. So I'm a little bit of both.
that's okay. Interesting. And I should say, just to add to my viewpoint, I think part of my problem is that we have in past businesses and past things found ourselves bashing our heads against a brick wall trying to get people to consume stuff. And I reached the very cynical viewpoint of you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And actually just try. And I think I am a very cynical buyer as well, because when I buy stuff, I'll unsubscribe if they try and heavily force me to consume it, because I'm not really that interested. I'm the guy who gets the table, puts it together wrong because I won't read the instructions. And then the legs are on the top of the table.
And then you post on your Instagram going, oh, this is not very good.
So because it irritates me when I'm forced to consume something on somebody else's time frame, that's one of my reasons against it. Having said that, there are definitely some places I think consumption is important, and therefore I think we'll come on to that in a bit. Kennedy.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I really like doing consumption, because I think it does a few things. One, it's less aggressive than the sort of older way of going, right, I've got you in, now, where's your wallet? No, don't sit down. You haven't got time for that. You can't get your wallet out of your pocket very easily if you sat down. You need to stand up because you can get your wallet out. I feel a bit like that. I also feel like if they consume your thing, which they were at that moment very excited enough to maybe opt in for free or buy the low ticket thing or the heck, the high ticket thing, if you help them consume that, they will get to experience how good your stuff is. So they'll be more likely to buy future stuff. But also, the way we do consumption in across our stuff, and the way we teach it, I guess, is, for that reason, is we teach it in a way that just the emails themselves tell people how good the thing was, despite whether they go and look at the thing or not. Because there are some people, because the number of people who opt in for free stuff and then don't even access it at all is astronomically high in the world in general. I don't know if it is high or low in our business across things. I don't really compare ourselves that way. But for me, if they can say, ooh, on page 32, maybe not as like direct as this, but like, you know, 32 minutes into our complete daily email strategy course, we give you the 9 different types of value you can use in every single email. Oh, great. So when I want that, I know it's good. Therefore, I know their stuff is good. So when they make me an offer about another thing that might be good, I know that there's good stuff inside. So that's one thing. And the other bit of it, I'm sort of blathering on a bit now, but that's kind of what I tend to do, is if we can get people and encourage people to go and log into like your members area to go and access the thing, then they get to see maybe your other products and they get to sort of experience what it's like to be in your world rather than being an outsider. But similarly, I totally get Rob's perspective, and it's why it's a panel discussion and not like a, well, this is what we should all do, about let's offer them the next
thing. I'm interested in, Monica, obviously you're going to be talking later about acquiring customers, subscribers as customers. Do you do a lot of free lead gen as well, or are you entirely focused on paid customer acquisition?
I do both. So I consistently run traffic to both free and paid offers.
Great. So that brings me on to my question to pose to you, which is, do you treat those differently from a consumption perspective, the free people versus the paid people, in terms of trying to get them to consume the free thing and consume the paid thing? Or do you like have the same approach to it?
I do, actually. So for the free thing, I actually don't try to get them to consume necessarily. I try to get them to reply to me and tell me their biggest pain point so that I can use that language in marketing, and I can use that language and like see if I can help them. So I actually have a follow-up email that happens like 98 minutes specifically, actually right after my welcome, you're like, here's the thing email. And I'm like, hey, did you get it? Like, tell me what you thought. And I just assume that they looked at it, right? So that assumption usually prompts people to go look at it, and then they'll reply and tell me things. Not obviously not everyone, but that's how I treat freebie things, right? Like free subscriber things. For my paid course, that is the low ticket offer, I do a 5 email consumption sequence before I start pitching them on the next thing. And I think it's 7 days. I'd have to double check because it's been in play for a while. But yeah, so I try to get them to consume. And what I really am doing there is setting their expectations, because I find that a lot of times course creators they're like, here's the thing, and this is what you should do. And you know, it's all really fast. And so I just try to make sure that they have some good expectations around how long things take and where they're going to hit roadblocks. And I'm more like managing their mental state in those consumption emails than I am saying like, hey, like, you know, on page or on video 5, like minute 4, I'm dropping like a knowledge bomb. Have you seen it yet? So that's what I found has worked best for my audience.
That makes a lot of sense.
It does. So what are we trying? I think it all kind of comes down to then, like, it's almost like, what are you trying to get to happen? Because I think one of the things we all have to do is train our subscribers. Like, because different Facebook groups expect different things from you. Some Facebook groups, people flip and go live every freaking day. Don't want about a thing. And some, and the same thing with kind of, where others, it's just the leader of the group talking about stuff. And other groups, you're not allowed to post it. You know, there's all these different lists and these different groups, I should say, with different expectations. And your email list is pretty much the same. Like, there's some people's emails where you can expect to, like, get a newsletter of the latest industry updates on a Friday, and that's what you get. And there's no need to reply, engage, click, whatever, because that's their kind of role and position in your life. Whereas there's some people where you know you want to reply because they're asking for it, or it's a very opinionated piece, or whatever it's going to be, or they're handling an objection in that email. Hey, why haven't you joined my program yet? Is an email that we've used and seen people use. That's really interesting. I'm interested, folks in the chat who are here with us live, which is almost 100 people with us live, which is awesome. Thanks for being here. Would you just tell us what are your thoughts? Like, both as a business, do you want to, like, help people consume the thing they've just bought from you, or the other thing they've just opted in for as a free lead magnet? We once spoke to somebody in the early days of our podcast, the Email Marketing Show, about if somebody doesn't consume, like, click to go download the freebie within X number of days, 30, 60 days, something like that, he literally just deletes them off his list. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. Like, to have that bravery around that, that's quite amazing. Drew's saying, you can lead a horse to water, absolutely, but how long do you do that for before you go, do you know what it is? They might just need a sexier thing. Robert, we want to get them results, need to take action or results aren't going to happen. Yep, I hear that as well. Guys, feel free to chime in. I'm just reading out the chat right now if you've got more to say. The correct answer from expert has been both. Do it all is best. Mark, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to go. It's hard to do both. Like, it's hard to just do consumption, and sale. But you could probably do like a middle ground. That's an interesting idea.
I definitely think that one of the benefits that we've found is definitely in pushing people into our members area. So we took our free stuff, put it into a members area, and then push consumption of the free stuff inside the members area. People have to log into their free account, and then you can't help but sort of click on, well, you land on the courses page where there's all these locked courses. And that definitely, because we track it all through UTM parameters and everything, that definitely tracks everything. So I think that's definitely worthwhile, because we see a lot of sales coming in from doing things that way. We're pulling back the curtain here, folks, exposing what goes on. So I think there's definitely value in there. But again, for me, I'm personally more interested in having them click and end up looking at stuff rather than click and look at the thing they've specifically opted in for or specifically bought from, which I think is a controversial viewpoint, like I said, but I do think it's interesting. Now, there is a place where I totally, totally do a backflip on this, and that's membership. So obviously, you know, Neil was here before talking about retention and all the other important metrics that come associated with having a membership. All of my opinions I've stated are only valid if it's a one-time thing that's like $30, where there's, you know, most people would just buy it and be happy and look at it and go, that's okay. And they'll look at it in their own time. With membership though, where you need, where the sale doesn't finish when they put their credit card details in, it begins. Then of course, consumption varies. Consumption is totally different from that perspective. And so we do lots of stuff there, which is interesting.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Monica, have you got any more thoughts you want to share?
Actually, yeah, I want to bring to the discussion something that Moore said. She said she doesn't want to nag people. And I am curious to see what your guys' thoughts are on if those kinds of emails are nagging or not, because I don't think that they are if they're well written emails. I think any emails that are boring or bland or, you know, don't deserve a spot in my inbox, obviously I will be unsubscribing. But I think that your unsubscribe numbers tell you if that's what people think. But what are your guys' thoughts on that?
So, the way that I think about these emails is not like your first email is like, here's the thing, and here's, and you want to resell them on the, because they've forgotten the moment they've put their email address in, you're probably saying something else on the next page, which means you've redirected their thoughts. You know, think of the psychological stack in people's heads here. And then by the time they go back to their email inbox, like, a lot of stuff's happened in that time. So in that first email, you want to resell them on the benefit of why they wanted that thing in the first place, so that they're most likely to consume it then. But then if your emails are just then showing up going, have you downloaded that thing yet? I know you haven't downloaded that thing yet. Did you really want that thing? You should download it. Do you not care about this? Do you really? You'll die if you don't download it. Like, if it's just that, then they're nagging. Like, nobody wants to be nagged. Whereas if the emails themselves, and we keep saying this, one of our core mottos at Email Marketing Heroes and everything we do is the emails themselves need to be valuable. So you can soft teach the points. So if your consumption sequence was four emails long, I'm making things up, but right, if it was just four emails long, take the 4 points that your free thing or your course, your paid thing, teaches, and teach them that that thing is important. So let's say for us, it was thing one, thing two, thing three. It's hard to say thing three, thing and thing four. In the very first email, you'll go, here's the thing. In the next email, you're going to go, do you know what's really important when you're doing X? Thing one. You've really got to get thing one done. Thing one's like really, really important because, and here's the reason why thing one's really important. Good news is, thing one is taught completely on page 2 of that ebook you've already opted in for. Nothing for sale here. Click here. Guess what happens? Goodwill just went up. You didn't come across as a nag. And they feel like they made a good decision because you're solving this problem. But guess what? Some people didn't care that much about thing number one. Some people didn't download the freebie or buy the course for thing number one because some people want to solve thing number two, three, or four. So all you do is the next day, for the people who didn't consume it yet, turn up and say, do you know what's really important to have success with the thing you want to have success with? Thing two. Thing two, really, really important thing. Guess what? It's on page 22 of this thing, or it's 17 minutes, or it's in module 4 of this thing. So, more, I totally agree with you, like 100%. These emails should not be naggy for my money, right? They have to be re-encouraging, reselling people on the core things that you achieve through that thing.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to add, I agree, but I want to add too that, like, if that was your problem and you have a paid course that solves that problem as well, pitch the paid course in that email as well. Like, build a relationship and get them to buy more stuff. All in the same email.
That's interesting. So would you have like two links? Would you have like, here's the download for the thing you want, but by the way, if you want to do this faster, better, whatever, here's the thing.
Yeah, and like do like a pitch for the course. Like, hey, if you're interested in, you know, going deeper, there's only so much I can put in a free offer, but I do have this paid offer. And if you want to get in on that, here's the deal, right? Send them to your sales page or your webinar or whatever it is that you're using to sell that.
Yeah. That makes sense. I think it comes down to, like we always say, that email should never be used as notifications. When you get an email from Facebook saying you've been tagged in a photograph, you never read the email, do you? You just read the subject line. You know all you need to know, and then you go and look at Facebook. And I think that, like, email serving as notifications, like you haven't looked at the thing yet, you haven't looked at the thing yet, you haven't looked at the thing yet, are obviously dull. And I think for me, that the solution to that, along with what Kennedy said, is to weave them in as much as possible with the style of your everyday emails. So our emails typically have a story of some description, a lesson of some description, and then what we always call an offer. What we really mean is a call to action of some description, whether that call to action is go and buy this thing or go and look at that thing over there that you've already bought. So I think it's easy to make that call to action, the offer, be go and look at the thing you've bought, and then wrap it in. One of the points I think to raise on this that I think is interesting is we recently had somebody got in touch and said, hey guys, I know you email every day. I'm not sure if something's gone wrong in the system, but I've received 4 emails today. And we were like, nah, it can't be true. So went and had a look. And actually it was, just because she happened to fall into multiple tracks that were running simultaneously with a new consumption thing that we'd put in place to get people to consume a free thing. And so as a result of that, she'd received an email to go and look at a free thing. She'd received 2 emails about the actual offer that was closing that day, one of the few places we would send 2 emails in a day about the same thing, and then a 4th email that was about something else, which I now forget. But that happened just because the problem is we started off with just having one track of emails that was like our engine, as we call it, where we sort of sell people through our stuff, and then we just added in this extra track, and suddenly that's now four emails that happen to fall on one day for a percentage of people. And that, so that needs to be looked at. So I think it's just one of those things where every time you do anything like this, you just really want to zoom out and just take a look at where people are at in that, because it's easy to make that mistake.
Well, then that's, I'm just going to add, so that problem was happening with me, and I actually used my autoresponder software to make sure that wasn't happening with actually custom fields. So I put a date and time of when they last get a certain email, and then I don't send it again if they got it within a certain time frame. So that's one of the ways that I've technically solved that problem, because you know I'm a geek. So,
tell us about that. Tell us about that.
What, me being a geek or me using custom fields in my autoresponder?
Oh, we know you're a geek. It's all right. We're fine with that. We love that about you. That's why we're friends. But tell us about the custom fields thing.
Oh, well, custom fields. So most autoresponders have where like you can add a data field to the customer's contact, right? So I use it for a couple of things, but that one email I was telling you about right in the beginning, it's like, hey, you know, here's the thing. And then another email that comes 98 minutes later is like, did you get the thing, right? I don't want to spend, you know, my whole day sending those to people who opt into like three things in a row. Cause you know, there's those people who just like come get all your free stuff. And so I have a field in there that sets the date and time right after I send that email. And then before I send another one, like all my sequences are set up to say like, hey, did the person get this kind of email in the last 3 days? If so, don't send this, right? It's in the structure of the autoresponder. Mm-hmm. I also use it to calculate lifetime value. So anytime you buy from me, your purchase goes into the lifetime value custom field. And then I also have your last purchase date and your last click-through date. And now you guys know all the data I'm keeping on you if you're on my email list. So yeah.
Monica Zuckerberg.
Yeah, Snyder Zuckerberg over there.
I mean, you guys know, previous to becoming a digital marketer, I was in business intelligence for the Walt Disney Company. So like, bring me the data all day long. So I and then I use it to make decisions in my other sequences, right? So if you spend a lot of money with me, you get different emails. If you Regency, it's an old school one. So frequency, recency, and money.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's getting super geeked out on.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's the classic. The classic. I love that. What have we got? Anyone want to weigh in on this? Let us know in the chat as well your thoughts on this idea of encouraging people to consume rather than just getting on with selling them the next thing.
The interesting impression I get from the comments is that it's quite a split between, I think a lot of the comments are sort of talking from a perspective of how they like to be marketed at. And it's a bit of a split between people who just think, oh, just let me get on with it, and people who say that they want to go through this.
It's interesting. There's a lot of discussion around once people put some kind of investment down, and usually the higher the investment. So the initial investment for a free thing is the investment of an email address. And that's no mean feat. Like, that is valuable. That is currency these days, right? But I think for the next level of like, it's $37 for maybe like an SLO type front end or something like that, or going up to like a multiple £1,000 program, usually the more you pay, more somebody pays, the higher the consumption. But you'd be amazed. Like, Rob and I have both got experience, extensive experience selling $2,000 to $5,000. I don't think higher than five. How are you, Rob?
No.
$2,000 to $5,000 $1,000 programs. And again, consumption of these things, sometimes still no.
I mean, we sold in my previous business, we sold a $10,000 package, like a co-creating package, and could not get the person to answer the call. Like, literally, he wouldn't respond to our emails. He wouldn't do anything. So now we're like, do we keep his $10,000? Like, it was really a weird situation. But yeah, so don't be surprised if that happens to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And that sort of speaks to Regina's point about, free trials and stuff like that. Are they a good conversion strategy? Well, again, like, my point of view is they definitely can be, but you've got to dial in that offer. Like, if the offer, and Todd Brown tomorrow, like, he is like the man when it comes to offers. That's why we somehow managed to get him to come and speak at the event and take some time to do that. The offer is like the thing. Like, test the offer, make the offer work. Like, all you have to do is go all in on it. We have this phrase, which is, you take the thing you want to do, and you take, what you do is you sit it in the chair opposite you, right? You sit that thing in that chair opposite you. You take off your hat. You kick off your shoes. You stare the thing in your face, in the face, and you say, I am not moving till you bloody work. And that's what you have to do. Like, you have to just figure out, because you know free trials must work. And therefore, if your offer is a free trial and it's not working right now, guess what? You just haven't figured out how to make the free trial work. Like, the offer's not the, like, that part of the offer, and that's only one part of the offer, as Todd will talk about tomorrow, but that's only one part of the offer. So you just haven't figured out the rest of it. That's all it is.
Well, and then during a free trial, so I did this with software previously, like, consumption is everything. Because if they're not, and in software in general, any sort of SaaS definitely needs a consumption sequence, because if people aren't using it, if they aren't getting into it, then they're not going to be paying for it.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
I think the big key thing here is that both can work, and you have to make it work in your style. And you have to, obviously, like everything, you have to make the words fit in your mouth. You have to make it feel comfortable for you as a sender. Like, there's definitely stuff in the past where Kennedy's thrown together the idea for a consumption thing and sent it to me. And I said, this is going to come out with my name on. I can't send it. I'm going to have to put your name on it, because I can't send those words with my name at the bottom and have it feel like it's legit. So we'll have to just do it that way. And that's okay. So I think that's really interesting. And I think you have to do what works for you. I think either will work, and you just have to test it and give it a go and see what you're most comfortable with. And it is also going to depend on circumstance. So SaaS memberships or software membership, any of those things definitely have a consumption sequence. Free trials, again, have a consumption sequence. The rest of it, do what you want.
Yeah, and I love what Monica said about, you can do both. Like, you can have a consumption sequence for your one-off course or one-off program, but it can simultaneously, or the free gift even, but it can simultaneously offer that upgrade of, you downloaded this thing, here it is, by the way, if you want to go deeper on this, if you want to go faster, if you want to go smarter, whatever, then here's the advanced level of that, or the next level of that. I think that's such a smart idea, and I don't think it's something we're doing. So that's awesome.
Free coaching session for Robin Kennedy.
Yeah, thank you very much to our coach and yours.
You guys coach me all the time, so I'm happy to repay the favor. And I mean, I think that at the end of the day, it's like, what works for you and your audience? Like, how much energy and effort do you want to put into it? And what is the return on that? And that's why, I mean, you'll be hard pressed to find me not selling an email, because hello, that's what it's there for, in my opinion. And to build relationships. I like relationships and revenue. They go together.
So there we have it. What a great conversation. And, as you've just heard, I've got some like obscure, quite controversial views on the consumption thing. But I thought that was such a good debate.
It was. I'd really like to know what others think of it. What do you think? As you're thinking about it now, as we're sort of musing that through your brain, what do you use consumption emails? Are you using them? Do you think they're a good idea? Will you use them? I would really, really love to know what you think, because it's definitely a double-edged sword. And I think some of the ideas and applications that we talked about in that discussion around using the consumption emails to upgrade people and stuff, I think are absolutely great. What do you think? How do you do it? What are you doing right now? Tell us over in our Facebook group, which you can find by going over to Facebook and looking for the Email Marketing Show community.
Now, if you enjoyed that conversation, we've got a whole 2-day event coming up really, really soon, just like the event that conversation was taken from. And it's packed with amazing speakers. It's a full 2-day event, fully online, fully live, because you can register for the entire thing totally free, attend the entire thing totally free, and devour the entire thing totally free.
I think you said it's totally free. Let's get into this week's
subject line of the week. Subject line of the week.
Robert.
No idea why this one worked. It's not. No idea. Just woof, comma, woof, question mark. There you go. Woof, comma, woof, question mark. It was a story about dogs and an email about barking. So you should go and... I don't know why it worked. There's no clever reason. I literally got to the end of the email, and because we always write the emails first, went up to the top and went, woof, woof. There we go. Type that in.
It's because it's not a sentence. It's like, what is he talking about? It's so like, there's no context. It works a treat.
Distinctly high click-through rate from that.
There you go. This week's
subject line of the week. Subject line of the week.
Thank you so much for listening to the whole show this week. It really means a lot. If you haven't already, make sure you drop us a review on your podcast player. It genuinely helps us to reach more people with the show. So got your podcast player, leave a lovely review. We might even read it out on the show. And if you haven't already, hit subscribe on your player. We'll see you next week.